Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
I'd imagine we've all heard of cortisol, but what precisely is its function in our body and what happens when levels are too high or too low? I'm joined on the line by Clare-based GP, Dr. Maura Finn. Hello, Maura.
Hi, good morning, Claire.
Good morning to you, and it's great to have you with us. Now, cortisol, I think it's one of those things, again, it's become a buzzword on social media where we get lots of warning informations about stress, increasing our levels of cortisol and all the bad things that that can do for us. But can you tell us what it is, what it's for and why we need it?
Well, exactly. The thing, the reason I wanted to talk about it is because there's a huge amount of content on health and wellness on social media, and some of it's very appropriate. But cortisol, because it's associated with metabolism and weight and energy, is a prime target for misleading information. So I thought it'd be good to kind of explain, like you said, exactly what it is. So cortisol is a steroid hormone. It's produced in the adrenal gland. These are little glands that are just above the kidneys. It's produced in a diurnal cycle. So an awful lot of parts of our body are actually cyclical, like, you know, periods and sleep and all the rest. So this diurnal cycle is entirely normal. So it's increased, it's produced at night and reaches its peak in the morning and then decreases as the day goes on. But it's absolutely crucial for proper brain and body function. But its other effect is that it actually increases in amount if we are exposed to a threat or a stress. So that's why it's known also as a stress hormone.
And if it is increased at high levels because we're particularly stressed, is that harmful for us?
If it's for a prolonged period of time, it can be. But the way it works, our body, when we perceive a stress, you know, people would be familiar with the fight or flight response. And that's in the beginning, adrenaline, big surge of adrenaline, and then cortisol takes over. And what it does, it actually kind of changes the environment in our body. It makes us ready to fight a threat. So sugars and energy are redirected from things that are non-essential in the short term, like muscle growth and bone growth, and directed so that you actually have energy to fight. And that can be because you've been exposed to a viral infection, intense exercise, severe trauma, like being in an accident, physical or emotional trauma, a low carbohydrate diet over a long period of time, and prolonged hunger. So your body perceives all of those things as being negative and a threat to it. So it redirects all the energy from non-essential things into being able to fight the stress. However, if that's going on for a long period of time, it means that we have increased blood pressure, we have a kind of a redirection of weight, we have issues with our skin, stretch marks, it affects the periods and libido, emotional lability, fatigue, muscle weakness, all of these things happen. But the issue is cortisol is not the enemy. Cortisol is essential. It's the reason why you have these prolonged responses. That is the problem. So we have to kind of manage the reasons that cause the high cortisol as opposed to targeting cortisol itself.
Mm-hmm. But we do have a name, don't we, for the condition of having increased cortisol?
Yeah, so if we have increased cortisol, and it's usually called Cushing's disease, and it can be because the adrenal gland itself has gone a little bit haywire and it produces too much, but can also be caused because we're taking medicines that actually mimic cortisol, so there'd be steroid type medicines, and that Cushing's disease can actually cause a lot of long term problems, like I say, high blood pressure, reduced immune reaction. It affects your immune system if it's too high for too long. Diabetes, osteoporosis, all of these things. The other thing that can happen with cortisol is that it can be too low, and there's an autoimmune condition called Addison's disease, which famously John F. Kennedy had, actually, and it is too low cortisol. And the effect of that, it's similar, actually. It's fatigue, muscle problems, but low blood pressure, usually irritability as well, bone loss, hair loss, weight loss. And again, it's a very complicated thing. So managing cortisol is very nuanced and complicated. And it can be very difficult to diagnose. So that's why these kind of like very simplistic kind of messages you might get on social media are misleading. If somebody has a concern around cortisol, they really need to kind of consult their doctor. And it's Why is it high? Is it because you've got experiencing prolonged physical, emotional, or viral stress? And if so, they're the things that need to be addressed as opposed to just looking at the cortisol itself.
And can you test for levels of cortisol?
Yes, we can. And traditionally what we do, because it's, like I said, it has this diurnal variation, we do a first thing in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning sample, and it should be quite high then. If you take it later in the day, in the afternoon, it can actually, you should see a drop off in it. And there'll be an appropriate physiological response. If it's high and it's above what we would expect, we may need to actually look at why that is the case. And very rarely does it actually have to be managed or because it's because of a primary Cushing's problem. It may be then because you look at the medication somebody's been on. One of the things, when people have been on steroids for a long time, you know, they're frequently used for autoimmune conditions or rheumatoid arthritis or things like that. You may see somebody that has, it's not a very nice description, but it's called a moon face, where they have kind of their cheeks are quite swollen, or kind of tummy fat, and that will be because there's too much cortisol circulating, either because it's been given to them or because of the adrenal glands. So we check for it, and then it's an endocrine issue. If it is something like Cushing's syndrome, Cushing's disease, or Addison's, then it has to be managed by an endocrinologist.
But you would not be making a medical intervention to deal with the cortisol levels first. You'd be looking at what is causing that increase or decrease.
Absolutely. And that's probably the thing I wanted to get across today. It's not, you know, if the cortisol levels are high, it's why are they high? It's, you know, you have a prolonged response for some reason. And it can be, and, you know, this is where the connection and the kind of the social media side of it is useful. It can be because of prolonged emotional or psychological trauma. So that needs to be acknowledged. But we need also to make sure there isn't a physical cause for it. And like I say, the commonest reasons why your cortisol levels will rise, and they typically rise to about three times normal, are because of like fighting a viral infection, or, you know, after intense exercise, or something that the body perceives as a threat that is not going to be good for long-term health.
Okay, now some questions coming in. This listener would like to know, do certain jobs cause increased cortisol levels? I work in a stressful environment and I'm worried that it could be affecting my health.
You see, that, and that's very interesting. If somebody's in a stressful environment, which they, we're all in stressful environments at certain times, and cortisol is designed to help us combat and adjust to our environments, but it's a short-term response. If somebody's in an acutely stressful environment all the time, that is not good for your body. But it's not good on so many different levels. Cortisol is just one of the little messengers that will kind of reflect that. So that person really needs to look at their job satisfaction and their job issues and talk to HR, and is there better ways of managing the stress? Cortisol is not the problem. The prolonged stress is the problem there.
Okay, Kay would like to know if breathing is a good technique for helping to reduce stress. I assume Kay's talking about box breathing or some of those managed breathing techniques that we hear about.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, we know we need to kind of manage our stress better, be it through exercise is so important. Talking to your friends, kind of explaining how you're feeling and kind of examining why you're feeling a certain way. But breathing exercises and yoga and issues and simple techniques like that are hugely important, especially if you can do them during the day, if you're actually in an acute situation where you are stressed. But again, we have to acknowledge that stress is a normal reaction to an environment. And if it's short term and it's appropriate, that's good. And that's what cortisol does for us. The problem is if it's prolonged, if it's exaggerated, and if it's going to cause long term physical health difficulties because it is damaging some of the other responses that we should experience.
Okay, there's an interesting one now from a listener who says, sometimes I get a fizzy feeling in my body as if I can feel my blood flow when things are hectic at work. Is that part more of the body's stress response, says this listener? Should I be worried?
Well, it probably is a part of the response, yeah, because what's happening, part of what happens with the increased cortisol. So like I said, stress, it's initially it's adrenaline, and we all know what that does. It's kind of fight or flight, and your kind of your heart jumps. But then the cortisol takes over. So it increases your blood pressure because it's making you ready to fight whatever threat is coming at you. So yes, what that person is feeling is a stress response, and a most probably a cortisol response. But again, is it inappropriate? Is it prolonged? Is it causing more long-term issues? And does that person need to look at, is that happening on a daily, prolonged basis? In which case, you know, you need to look at the source of it. So you manage the source of it, not the cortisol. And I suppose that's the thing I wanted to kind of get across today.
Okay, Maura, thank you very much. That's Dr. Maura Finn there.